Coming up on this episode of The Doctor's Pharmacy.
We're seeing nutritional deficiencies. I see a lot of genetic variations that influence somebody's energy level. We see digestive issues that influence energy level. We see chronic infections.
Hey everyone, it's Dr. Mark. Now, time and again, I hear my patients say they're eating super clean, they're exercising, and they're doing a lot of great things for their health, but they just cannot lose weight or find the energy they're really looking for. And when asked about sleep, they launch into a laundry list of reasons why they don't have time to get enough of it, or they say they just never wake up feeling fully rested. Now, I've been there too, and I used to think that MD stood for medical deity and meant I didn't have to follow the same sleep rules as every other human being. I stayed up late, working long shifts in the emergency room, and I ignored the demands of my body to rest. But the lack of high-quality sleep is associated with tons of health problems like insulin resistance, obesity, cardiovascular disease, mood disorders, poor immune function, lower life expectancy. And when I wised up, I noticed an amazing change in my health and my overall well-being. What we need to do is ready our systems physically and psychologically for sleep. We need to guide our bodies into a deep healing rest. And we really need to create the right environment and a relaxing haven in order to get optimal sleep. For me, my own sleep quality really improved when I made my bed an oasis that I can't wait to get into every night. All the calming activities in the world aren't going to help you sleep better if your bed is uncomfortable. And I didn't even realize how bad my old mattress was until I upgraded it to an Essentia organic mattress. It's incredibly comfortable and non-toxic, and it's totally revamped my bedroom. As someone who recently had back surgery, I find it's the perfect balance of support and softness. I also run hot, and the Essentia has a chemical-free cooling core. It's a cooling surface that provides the best environment for deep restorative sleep. Now, a lot of people don't realize that most traditional mattresses contain a slew of chemicals that off-gas into your home, leaving you with poor air quality and lots of health risks. Essentia mattresses are certified by the Global Organic Textile and Global Organic Latex Standards, two of the designations that mean an ultra-clean sleep. Essentia is also the highest scoring mattress when it comes to health and recovery sustainability. Now, none of us can afford to ignore the importance of sleep. So make bedtime something you're excited about every night and check out the organic mattresses for Essentia for a safe and comfortable night's rest. From now until September 8th, they're offering the Doctor's Pharmacy listeners an exclusive offer of 25% off your purchase price along with two free pillows. That's a $300 value. Just go to myessentia.com/Hyman. That's myessentia, myessentia.com/Hyman. Now let's get back to this week's episode of The Doctor's Pharmacy.
Welcome to The Doctor's Pharmacy. I'm Dr. Mark Hyman, and that's pharmacy with an F, F-A-R-M-A-C-Y, a place for conversations that matter. And if you've ever been tired and you have fatigue, you better listen up because this conversation is going to make a lot of sense to you when nothing else does, because it's with our leading physician, the medical director at the Ultra Wellness Center, my good friend and colleague for decades now, Dr. Elizabeth Boam. She is a star in her own right. She's an MD, a nutritionist, exercise physiologist. She went to Cornell, where I went also, and she's on the faculty of the Institute for Functional Medicine and teaches all over the world and is one of the leading stars in functional medicine. And clearly, I think if I were sick or any of my family members sick, we go to Liz. So I'm just so excited to have you back on the podcast. And today we're doing a special episode of The Doctor's Pharmacy called House Call, which is basically a series to discuss how we deal with problems in functional medicine differently than conventional medicine and what we do here at the Ultra Wellness Center. And today we're going to talk about fatigue. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of this amorphous idea of, well, being tired, and it's a common symptom, but we don't do so well with it in medicine, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Mark, thank you so much for having me. Fatigue, they estimate that 20 to 30% of patients who come into their primary care doctor's office come in with the chief complaint of fatigue.
So I'm tired.
I'm tired. And, you know, so it's a lot of us. It's a lot of people that we see, a lot of people we see here at the Ultra Wellness Center. One of their main reasons they want to come in is I'm tired and I want to feel better. So I think functional medicine is really well you know, it's, I think it's great for whatever we're working on, but I think it works really well with fatigue. You know, in conventional medicine, you know, all of our training, we were really focused a lot on acute care medicine and, you know, not enough on chronic conditions. And definitely we're not often given, physicians aren't often given enough time to really delve into a topic like fatigue, which can be so complex. You know, so one of the great things in functional medicine is we really focus on getting that timeline of the patient's history, which is so important because it really helps us determine what's going on with that patient, why do they have that fatigue? And I think that's really critical. And one of the great things about functional medicine is we talk about their timeline, which just means, you know, their whole life story. You know, what was their life like as a child, even when they were a fetus? You know, what kind of illnesses did they have when they were younger? How did they feel when they were in their 20s? All of that really influences what's going on now and how we work with them when they come in saying, I have fatigue, I'm tired.
You're right. And you know, I think this is something that I sort of had the insight about decades ago with functional medicine, that when we were trained in medical school, we were trained to create an exclusive history. In other words, focus on the problem. If it doesn't seem like it's related to that problem, then you just ignore it. So if someone comes in with heartburn and they also have a rash and a headache, you go, well, you go to the headache doctor, you go to the skin doctor, I'm going to take care of your heartburn. And we don't connect the dots. Functional medicine is an inclusive history where we look at every possible symptom, every possible exposure, where you were born, when you were born, whether you're breastfed, whether you took antibiotics, whatever it is. And we try to connect the dots and see what you call the timeline of how this all leads to the person being sick in this moment. And when you do that, you often get to see the answer. And the patient goes, Yeah, when this happened, when I was 23, then I got, I was in Thailand and I got sick and I've never been the same. And so we begin to hear these stories and you begin to connect the dots. But when you go to a traditional doctor with fatigue, what do?
Yeah, right. They get a battery of tests. Maybe they'll do a quick physical exam, do some of the basic tests. And then a lot of times those basic tests look normal. I mean, that's what patients come to me all the time with. Yeah, my tests were normal. And they said, maybe you have some depression.
Right.
And I don't blame.
So Prozac is the treatment for depression. I mean, for fatigue, right?
Maybe you've had a little depression. And it's not that we're, you know, they don't blame physicians for that. They're given a very short amount of time to deal with this very complex symptom.
Often. Yeah, you're basically anemic. You have low thyroid.
Yep.
Or you are depressed. Or maybe you have cancer that we have to look for. But there's a short list. And if those things don't pan out, there's not a lot to offer.
Yeah.
And or they give you Ritalin.
Right.
Or maybe they give you Provigil.
Right.
You know?
Right.
There's drugs, but it often don't work.
So, I mean, I think what's great with functional medicine is we really, as I talked about, take that really detailed timeline and history and look to connect the dots. And we're wondering, what's going on, of course, with that person's lifestyle? You know, of course, we're paying attention to sleep and diet and exercise and stress. But we're also thinking about all the different systems in the body and how they're influencing somebody's energy level. So everything from, is that person dealing with a chronic infection, right? So chronic infections we've got to think about and delve through.
Like Lyme disease or a virus.
Right? Yeah.
And they're not acute infections. They're these things that are lingering, smoldering things that, you know, don't make you acutely ill, but that are staying there, affecting your overall health.
That can happen a lot of times, right? And sometimes acute infections turn into chronic infections. And sometimes people just have these smoldering infections in like the digestive system that can really wear their body down, you know, an overgrowth of yeast or some bacteria. And the body's just chronically having to fight that and it's exhausting.
So your microbiome can make you tired if it's not healthy.
Absolutely. If it's not healthy, we see that all the time.
Yeah.
Right. So and then, of course, we're paying attention to the mitochondria. You know, that's the powerhouse of those cells that take your food and turn it into ATP or energy. And so there can be many reasons why those organelles aren't working well. And so we're thinking about that.
Toxins. Sugar.
Yes. Infections, just genetic variations. And I think that's another thing that's really important that we pay attention to is, you know, does this person have some variations in their genetics that are influencing their energy and their requirement for certain nutrients? We, of course, pay attention to hormones, you know, the thyroid hormone, the adrenal hormones, the female and male hormones.
Yeah.
We really are looking at all aspects of somebody's health. And that, I think, is really helpful to determine, okay, what is the cause for this individual person?
Yeah, because fatigue doesn't really mean a whole lot other than I'm tired. And it could be caused by so many things. For me, it was mercury.
Yes.
It was mold. And then it was my gut. And then, you know, I think I've become an expert in fatigue because I had chronic fatigue syndrome, which is like the most extreme version of it, where you can barely drag yourself out of bed and barely function. You have brain fog. I mean, that's the extreme version of it.
Yep.
But it's really a continuum. And we can really drive people to a solution by being these medical detectives that look at all these variables that people really don't look at.
It's so important to ask those questions, right, of how long has this been going on? Did it just start? Has it been your lifelong, you know, have you been life your whole life been a little more tired than, you know, other people that you know, if you're always feeling a little tired, or is it some acute change that happened? When did it happen? Are you tired all the time? Are you tired certain times of the day? Are you tired in certain locations, right, and not in others, when you think about things like toxins and molds, right? So there's so many interesting questions that we have to ask. And so one of the things, you know, at the Ultra Wellness Center that we do is, you know, we've got one of our PAs will take a really detailed history before you even see the doctor that helps us, right? So, you know, like 40 minutes or even more getting your whole story. Well, first you fill out a whole patient packet, which is long and extensive. Then the PA gets a long history from you, and then we get a lot of time with you as well. And all of that really helps to put together your individual story, which is really what's helpful.
You see the whole patterns, right? You see all these patterns, you connect the dots, you see how things are linked up, and then you can decide to dive into different areas of testing, right? So, well, you know, I had a tick bite when I was, you know, 5 years ago, and I've never been right since. Or, you know, like I love tuna fish, and I live on Martha's Vineyard, and I eat swordfish every other week, and... you know, you go, maybe it's mercury, or you ask other questions related to their, for example, hormones. Say, well, you know, how's your libido and sex life? And if you're a guy, your testosterone goes down, that could be it. Or maybe your thyroid is not working. Or maybe, you know, we look at your nutritional status because, you know, vitamin D can cause fatigue if you're low in vitamin D. So we kind of really do a comprehensive map based on your story, and that directs us to exactly what to test. And what are the kinds of things that, you know, you found are the common drivers of fatigue for patients?
Oh, you know, there's so many, and we can go through a few cases, but, you know, nutritional deficiencies, huge. You know, you'd think that we were adequately, you know, we had adequate nutritional status, but so many of us don't, whether it's because of digestive issues and we're not absorbing well, or just inadequate intake, or we're dealing with some sort of chronic toxin exposure that's wearing down our body. So,
or eating processed food, or the soil's depleted,
oh,
or
my goodness,
food's stored for, I mean, the average apple you eat has been stored for a year.
Yeah.
You know? Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Go pick an apple from a tree and go eat one that's been in a warehouse for a year. Right. Very, very different experience.
Yeah. So, I mean, of course, we're seeing nutritional deficiencies. I see a lot of genetic variations that influence somebody's energy level. We see digestive issues that influence energy level. We see chronic infections and, of course, toxins.
Heavy metals.
You know, what I think is really great. Some patients even come in with their timeline. You know, and sometimes that's so helpful because they write down, you know, over the years when certain things happened in their health history. And then you can look at that. And again, you start to see some of these patterns.
Yeah. And so when I, you know, remember when I had chronic fatigue, I, you know, went to doctor after doctor after doctor. And they're like, well, there's nothing wrong, or you're testing normal, or this is a little off, or that's a little off, but nothing really. And, you know, take some Prozac, you know, here's something for sleep.
Right.
You know, and it's just, it's so frustrating as a patient to go through this litany of doctors and not really getting an answer. And, you know, and I think that fatigue, you don't often treat directly because, you know, you can take Provigil, which will sort of make you more awake, or you can take Ritalin or Adderall, which is like a, you know, stimulant to help you have more energy. But those are sort of like beating a dead horse. You have to figure out what's really going on.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, when I first sort of discovered what happened with me was the mercury was the thing that was driving it. And it created a whole cascade of problems. So it affected my gut.
Yep.
It affected my immune system. So I was chronically inflamed. I started developing all these rashes and all these sores. And all these things around my eyes would look like a raccoon if I ate certain foods. I'd get bloating. And I also develop, you know, real cognitive issues and real trouble thinking and focusing and fatigue. And I realize that, you know, these insults that happen, you know, affect all these different systems in your body. So when you're diagnosing someone with fatigue, it's all the other symptoms and all the other pieces that give you the clues about what's really going on for this person.
Right.
So it's not like one treatment for fatigue. There's dozens and dozens, depending on what you find with that story.
Right, and that mercury for you just depleted your glutathione stores, and that then influenced all these other aspects of your health.
Yeah.
Right?
Poisoned my mitochondria.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, it turned out I had a gene that affects my muscle enzymes, my energy cycle and my mitochondria.
Yep.
And it leads to have an easier ability to be damaged by it, which is why I had this elevated thing called CPK, which is a muscle enzyme. And it was this abnormal test, but it wasn't really so severe that it was a disease, but it wasn't normal.
Right.
And they're like, well, I don't know what's wrong. You know, like,
right.
But we can figure that out using the roadmap of functional medicine.
I think it's so interesting how some people just need more support than others in certain areas. And, you know, we talked about this on another podcast about supplements. And I think that's what the key is when you figure out for that individual person where they need that extra support in a personalized way, it makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah. Right? I remember I was giving a lecture at Canyon Ranch one year, and I'm like, this guy's like, you know, I'm always tired. I don't know what to do. I said, how many hours do you sleep? He's like, 6. I'm like, sleep 8. That'll be $500, please.
You know? Sometimes it's just that simple, right?
I'm like, sleep. So, yeah, quality of sleep also matters. You know, sleep apnea is another cause that's often very undiagnosed in patients.
Often undiagnosed and something we have to look for. You know, we look for the signs of sleep apnea from somebody snoring, not remembering their dreams, their blood pressure being elevated, they're not
gaining
having a harder gaining weight, right? Because it causes the weight gain. It causes you to gain weight around your belly, signs of insulin resistance and metabolic syndrome, that high fasting insulin, the high waist to hip ratio. You know, all those things make us think, okay, we got to think about sleep apnea. And then when we examine them, sometimes you can see clues on exam. And it's critical that we diagnose it and treat it because it makes a huge difference in not only how somebody feels, but their risk for all sorts of diseases, right? From diabetes to heart disease to, you know, sudden death for that matter.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
sudden
it's
death. Serious. That's not a good outcome.
No, that's not good.
So Liz, you had a couple of cases I want to share. Yeah. With everybody, and this 35-year-old woman with weight gain and diabetes, and tell us about her and how she presented and what you found and how you worked up the case and what you did with her.
So this woman came to see me when she was 35, and she had obesity and type 2 diabetes and depression and heartburn. She had a lot of other things too, but those were some of the main issues. And actually the reason she came to see us was because her depression medication wasn't working. And she's like, I really need to find another way to deal with this. So she had, when we looked at her timeline, right, she started gaining weight when she went to college in her 20s and started to put on a bunch of weight. Enough weight also, and maybe she was at that point making a lot of the wrong food choices, she also started to get some heartburn. And in her 20s, so she was put on a PPI. She was put on the acid blocker when she was, you know, in her 20s. And she was still on that same, you know, that same acid blocker now, 15 years later. So she was put on the acid blocker in her 20s for her reflux.
And those medications, when they came out, they were not designed to be taken forever. They were 6 weeks for an ulcer.
Yeah.
We were told they are, you know, very powerful drugs that suppress acid production in the stomach, that cause long-term complications, and they do.
Yep.
But we now have them for sale over the counter, and doctors prescribe them like candy, and they have serious complications if they're used liberally like that.
Absolutely.
Instead of figuring out why you have heartburn in the first place.
And she couldn't get off it because the heartburn kept coming back. So here she was 15 years later. And then she slowly, in her, you know, after college, the weight just kept coming on. So she just kept gaining more and more weight. Her health was just deteriorating in a way. She just got more and more tired. And then, you know, in her later 20s, she started to have some depression. And she was, you know, she was tried on a bunch of different antidepressants, and they didn't really make any difference. And then a couple years before she came to see me, she was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. So she wasn't yet on any medication for diabetes. She was trying to control it with diet, but her blood sugar was high enough to get the diagnosis of diabetes. and she's only 35.
Wow.
And, you know, and she just wasn't feeling good. So she said, you know what, I've got to try a different way. So she stopped her antidepressants because they weren't doing anything and came to see us. And so for me, you know, looking at her timeline and putting together, you know, connecting the dots, when I see somebody with fatigue and depression and on a PPI, on an acid blocker for so long, you know, one of the things I really think about is protein and what is that person's protein status.
And why is the acid blocker a problem for protein?
Right. So you need acid in your stomach to break down your food. And it starts, acid also encourages a lot of our digestive enzymes to work, which is all really necessary for the body to break down its protein into amino acids that you can absorb. And then when the body absorbs those amino acids, they get used in the body for all sorts of different things, from healing your skin to making muscle, but also they're used to make your neurotransmitters.
Your happy new mood chemicals.
Absolutely, right? So they make your serotonin and your dopamine and your GABA, which help you focus and have energy and feel happy.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Focus, energy, and feel happy. I want some of that.
So when you take an acid blocker, you're decreasing your ability to break down your food and break down your protein and pull all those really important amino acids from your food. Mm. And for some people, and depending on the length of time you're on it, it can have a huge impact.
Yeah, it also impairs other nutrients like B12, which also is a big cause of fatigue and depression.
Yes. B12, it impairs the absorption of a lot of your minerals. So we see people develop osteoporosis after years of being on these acid blockers. So people will have low zinc, low calcium, low magnesium.
And zinc is more important than ever with COVID-19 because it helps to
inhibit the
viral attachment replication.
Yeah, so, it's so important for your immune system.
Yeah.
Right. So I was, you know, I saw that she had this depression, the fatigue, the acid blocker, and I go, oh, I wonder what's going on with her protein. So we do this cool test where it looks at plasma amino acids, which are those building blocks of protein in your body. So you can measure your amino acids in your blood. And we did. So we measured her amino acids, and she was low in lots of amino acids. I wasn't surprised.
And you think, oh, she's eating a protein. How can she be low in amino acids?
Exactly.
We don't see protein malnutrition in America, but we do see large numbers of patients with very low amino acids for a variety of reasons.
Right, right. And so, you know, I suspect with her that the acid blocker was a huge reason for that, that she just wasn't breaking down her food well and absorbing her amino acids well. And so one of the things we were able to do was give her some of these amino acids for the period of time. So we gave her a complex of amino acids. And then I also gave her some amino acids that were really focused on production of neurotransmitters. So things like tryptophan, 5-HTP, tyrosine, GABA, these things that help the body with production of those neurotransmitters. And, you know, you have people take the amino acids between meals because it helps with, it's better absorbed that way. And that was really helpful for her. You know, that helped her energy. She noticed a tremendous difference in her energy. It actually helped her hair. That wasn't, you know, she wasn't coming in complaining about it, but of course it helped her hair.
Necessary for your hair, right?
Yep. And it helped her mood. So it made a big difference in the depression. So she was started to be more active and move more. And then, of course, we wanted to wean her off of the acid blocker. So, and with the type 2 diabetes, we also needed to work a lot on her diet also, of course. So we put her on a low glycemic diet. We took away all the refined carbohydrates and the simple sugars and, you know, made sure she was getting good quality protein when she was eating and good healthy foods. And with that shift in diet, we've been slowly able to wean her off of the acid blocker.
Which is again, another one of the things we've talked about on the podcast, which is reflux or heartburn.
Right.
And it's such a problem. These medications are, you know, in the top three of all medications prescribed in the world. And they're very powerful and strong, and they do have this negative impact on causing everything from small bowel overgrowth and digestive issues. They cause irritable bowel,
yep.
Mineral deficiencies, osteoporosis, pneumonia, and so forth. But what's interesting is that the way they're designed makes it almost impossible to get off of them. And you have to know what you're doing. So you have to sort of deal with the causes of what the reflux is, right? Which is often diet.
Yep.
Sometimes it's a bacteria. But then you have to slowly taper it off because there's something called rebound that happens. So you basically stop it and you get a flood of acid and that causes more heartburn. So you really have to know what you're doing. And people think, oh, I've tried to stop it, I can't. For those listening, I want you to understand that there is a way to get off of these drugs, but you can't just stop it like that. You have to know what you're doing, and you have to figure out what the cause is. So like you said, you change your diet. She doesn't need it anymore.
Yep.
Right?
And well, you know, she needed it less and less, but we still needed to wean her, like you said, because there's that rebound that occurs when you've been on it for a long time. So we did have to wean her and use some other things to help with, you know, we used a little DGL. We had to use some other things to help her digestion in addition to diet. And we were able to, you know, wean her off of it. So in the long run, her absorption of her protein is going to be better. So her mood's going to be better.
Yeah.
So, you know, and of course now her blood sugar is getting way much better. And she's losing weight and she's feeling happier. You know, it's pretty phenomenal.
So fixing her gut and giving her some amino acids, that's not something that most doctors will do when someone comes in with depression or fatigue.
Right.
But it's really how we approach patients at the Ultra Wellness Center. And really the beautiful thing about the model of functional medicine, because it can help so many people with, you know, challenging issues that nobody can figure out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's fun to do,
It's so fun. It makes that medicine interesting. Because, you know, I remember I used to work in the emergency room for years, and I found it really boring. And people, how can you say it's boring to work in the emergency room? There's all this excitement and this and that. I'm like, well, once you've learned the recipe for everything, what's the recipe for asthma or back pain or heart attack or stroke or someone who's got, you know, needs to be intubated or someone who comes in with a fracture, whatever, or dislocated shoulder. It's like a cookbook recipe. So then you just look at the nurse and you go, heart attack treatment, stroke treatment. It's like, they know it's you have to write the orders, but it's like everybody knows what's going on. There's no thinking involved.
Right.
You make it's a kidney stone, you do this. And most of the things you see in the emergency room are relatively common and relatively easy to diagnose. And occasionally there's a puzzling case, but it's kind of boring. I found that functional medicine is a constant puzzle. That you have to figure out. Everybody's
so
different. It's totally personalized. Talk about precision medicine, personalized medicine, precision nutrition, personalized nutrition. That's what we do. That's what this is about. And no two people are the same. And you could have somebody else coming in with depression and fatigue and diabetes, and they could have a different story with different factors and different causes.
And I think that's why so many physicians are turning to functional medicine, because, you know, of course they have this inquisitive mind and they're problem solvers and they want to look at how all the patterns come together. And I think that's really what has attracted a lot of people to the training, because it's getting us back to really, you know, looking at that whole person and the individualized person.
It's true. I think there was some tech conference out west where they said, you know, functional medicine was sort of one of the leading trends in medicine and healthcare. So I think that's true.
Yeah.
So you have another case, Liz, of a 50-year-old woman who also had been fatigued her whole life and, you know, been working hard. And tell us about her and what was going on with that, because it was a little bit of a different story.
Absolutely. So she was 50 when she came to see me. And the real reason she came in was her weight. She had started to put on weight and she was frustrated with it. So she came in because she's like, I want to get some of the weight off. But she also noted that she had significant fatigue. It wasn't fatigue that kept her from working. So she was actually a worker. She was very successful with her job, and then she had worked her whole life, and she sort of pushes through, but more fatigue than, you know, other people around her. She'd note, you know, even when she was a kid, she had more fatigue than her friends, and she would want to sleep more and, you know, rest more and not exercise as much. So she noted she had fatigue her whole life. But, you know, over the last few years, it had gotten worse. And, you know, with the weight gain, she said, let me go in, let's deal with this. So she came in to see us. You know, she's, as I said, she works all day. She'd come home, she'd cook dinner, she'd have a couple glasses of wine to calm down. And, you know, just got up the next day and did it again. So I thought that was really interesting when you hear that on somebody's timeline, right? That long history of fatigue.
Yeah.
It makes you think about different things, right? And so, and also hers was like not the level of fatigue. I mean, she still was functioning, but just not at her optimal.
Mm.
So, you know, I started thinking, okay, let's look at her genetic makeup. let's look at her genetic makeup. So we did a genetic panel that looks at, you know, some SNPs, some variations in somebody's genetic makeup that can influence influence diseases that they get, as well as influence need for different nutrients or supplements. And so one of the things we found out is that she had a homozygous variation with the MTHFR gene.
That's a mouthful.
I know.
What is that? Break that down for us.
So the MTHFR gene is a gene that encodes for an enzyme.
And homozygous means she has two copies, one from her mom and her dad.
She got both.
And so she has...
It has a bigger impact in terms of her of her life. And so that's the methyl tetrahydrofolate reductase enzyme.
Another mouthful.
Yeah. So, and that enzyme is involved in methylation or transfer of methyl groups, which is involved in multiple different processes in the body. Everything from detoxification to making your neurotransmitters to, you know, energy production. So there's, it's involved in so many pathways in the body.
Yes. It's basically like this process where you take the carbon and three hydrogens, which is called a methyl group. And it's, I think of like the currency of the body, where there's all these chemical reactions happening, literally billions of reactions happening every second. And one of the main ones that is going on is this process of we call methylation, which is the transfer of these groups. And there's genes that regulate the nutrients that are involved in pathways and the enzymes that regulate these chemical reactions.
Yeah.
And so you can have variations in your ability to do that that can have impact on your health. And that's what you're talking about.
Absolutely. You know, it's been associated with depression. People who have a homozygous variation of this gene, the MTHFR gene, have an increased risk of depression. They have an increased risk of fatigue. They have an increased risk of miscarriages, neural tube defects. And so it's significant. There's been a lot of research on this gene. It's very interesting. And it impacts lots of different systems in the body. And that enzyme needs B vitamins. So B vitamins are really crucial for that to all work well.
Yeah.
And we know that when people have this genetic variation, they can't take folic acid, that's a synthetic form of folate that's in a lot of supplements.
Yeah.
They can't take that, activate it, and utilize it.
Or even the stuff you get from food sometimes, right?
Yeah, some of the stuff from food too. I mean, a lot of food is naturally methylated, but like a lot of our processed food has had folic acid sprayed onto it. And
It's fortified.
The body can't really utilize it. It can't activate it and utilize it in the body. And so people, you know, like,
and conversely, it can become toxic.
Absolutely.
And cause problems. So if you actually think you're doing something good, taking folic acid, and you have this problem, you're actually doing harm.
Right. They're saying that it may build up in your tissue, might increase risk of cancer. There's a lot of things that we're looking at with that. So, you know, we always focus on the better quality supplements that include a better form of folate, the methylfolate. That was really important for her in this situation. We also gave her a good multivitamin, a good B complex, and we increased the folate in her diet with all the foliage, the folate rich foods, the green leafy vegetables, but all your vegetables are rich in folate. So we increased those in her diet. And we also dealt with we cut back on her alcohol because alcohol uses up your B vitamins.
Yeah.
So
she was drinking two glasses of wine a night to calm down, right?
You know, a lot of times, you know, people have these genetic variations, but they can express themselves in different times of your life, depending on what else is going on. So, you know, probably what happened with her is over years of just drinking a little too much alcohol, it became more of an issue because she was wearing down her B vitamins and she needs those B vitamins for that methylation process to occur. So, it's, you know, both of the things came together. She had her genetics and her environment and they made the fatigue even worse.
Yeah.
We often see that gene express itself or people have problems when they go to college, for example. So kids that have that genetic variation and then they go to college and start drinking more, and then they start having problems with depression.
Yeah.
You know, that's a kind of a pattern that we sometimes see because, you know, you've got the change in diet, you know, maybe, you know, not eating as much vegetables, then you're drinking more alcohol.
Their mom not there making you eat your veggies.
And you've got that genetic variation. And then, you know, there's so many things that come into play. But I think it's important when you look at that timeline, that helps us give us those clues.
Yeah, so true. And one of the other big causes we see is just what people are eating. Like if you're eating a nutrient-depleted, ultra-processed diet with tons of sugar and inflammatory foods, it tends to cause you fatigue.
We see that all the time. You know, people eating the wrong foods at the wrong time, eating a lot of refined processed foods, causing their blood sugar to spike, and then it drops. Not eating enough protein. I mean, there's so much with diet that has a huge impact. And like you mentioned, the inflammatory foods. So foods that may be causing inflammation for that person. You know, gluten and dairy, and so
those are the big ones.
Those are the big ones. But yeah. And so a lot of times we'll do, you know, one of the biggest tools we have in our toolkit, right, is that comprehensive elimination diet. And it can be really helpful for patients. They work with our nutritionists and get on a really good, you know, try an elimination diet. And many times patients will say, I started to feel so much better,
yeah.
right? And my energy improved.
So true. And we actually are going to be running an online group Zoom
Yeah.
elimination diet that's 5 weeks, guiding you through that whole process so people can try it and experiencing it. And I found this you know, classically using elimination diets for decades in functional medicine, it is probably the most powerful tool we use to sort of reset people, and 9 times out of 10 it works. If it doesn't, it means there's something else. Maybe they're low thyroid, maybe they're heavy metals, maybe they have Lyme disease, maybe there's something else
right.
going on. But maybe 8 out of 10 to 9 out of 10 people will see a dramatic change in their health in a very short time.
Yeah.
And it's a great test. And it's why
it's a great test.
You know, that's why I wrote the book, The 10-Day Detox Diet, and created yeah. the program called 10-Day Reset, which is basically a program you could do at home with online support where you eliminate the bad stuff, put in the good stuff, and you get to see what happens. And
yeah.
you know, we always joke about something called FLC syndrome. It's when you feel like crap. And that includes being tired, and that often goes away very quickly. And we sort of looked at a group of 1,000 people who went through this, and there was a 62% reduction in all symptoms from all diseases in just 10 days. Not
That's
to mention
amazing.
Weight loss and blood pressure coming down and blood sugar coming down.
Yeah.
You know, it's so funny to me as a doctor that even the smartest people don't connect what they eat with how they feel.
All the time. We see that all the time.
It's incredible to me. And I think if you get people to just try something, so look, this isn't forever, just do it for 10 days.
Yep.
You see what happens. They go, whoa, you know, I didn't even know I could feel so good. And yep. one of my patients said, Dr. Hyman, I didn't know I was feeling so bad until I started feeling so good. And I think we are used to that, you know, elephant standing our toe our whole life. And when it gets
yeah.
off, we go, oh, wait a minute. It doesn't have to feel so bad all the time.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. It is, I think, the best tool we have. And like you said, so many patients, you know, they just get better with just the change in diet, which
yeah.
is phenomenal. And it's a great thing to try.
Yeah. So, you know, I think people come to accept things like fatigue, oh, that's just me, or,
right.
you know, I'm just tired, or I'm stressed, or this or that. And I think, you know, what you're saying is that there is a way to navigate for each person to what the causes are,
yeah.
and then figure out a personalized plan to fix those causes. And one patient, it was getting her off the acid blocker, giving her amino acids. Another patient, it was figuring out she had this genetic variation, needed special forms of B vitamins to increase her neurotransmitter function and her overall sense of well-being. It's what makes functional medicine so much fun is being able to actually
yeah.
look at these puzzles and figure out for each person what it is. Because fatigue is just a symptom. It doesn't tell you what's going on. And I think it's one of those symptoms that we do really poorly with in traditional medicine. Unless you've got like a low thyroid, or you've got anemia, you know, and they can give you iron or a thyroid pill.
And it has to be really low and really anemic, because the borderline stuff a lot of times, as you know, it's missed all the time, right?
Yeah. So don't fret. If you have fatigue, there are answers. And now at the Ultra Wellness Center here in Lenox, we are doing virtual consults mm-hmm. all over the world. It's easy to sign up. You go to ultrawellnesscenter.com and learn more. We'd love to help you out if you have a need. And if you've been loving this podcast, please share it with your friends and family on social media. Leave a comment. We'd love to hear from you. And subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll see you next time on The Doctor's Pharmacy.
Thank you, Mark.
Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Hyman. Thanks for tuning into The Doctor's Pharmacy. I hope you're loving this podcast. It's one of my favorite things to do, and introducing you all the experts that I know and I love and that I've learned so much from. And I want to tell you about something else I'm doing, which is called Mark's Picks. It's my weekly newsletter, and in it, I share my favorite stuff, from foods to supplements to gadgets to tools to enhance your health. It's all the cool stuff that I use and that my team uses to optimize and enhance our health. And I'd love you to sign up for the weekly newsletter. I'll only send it to you once a week on Fridays. Nothing else, I promise. And all you have to do is go to drhyman.com/picks to sign up. That's drhyman.com/picks, P-I-C-K-S, and sign up for the newsletter, and I'll share with you my favorite stuff that I use to enhance my health and get healthier and better and live younger longer.
Hi, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Just a reminder that this podcast is for educational purposes only. This podcast is not a substitute for professional care by a doctor or other qualified medical professional. This podcast is provided on the understanding that it does not constitute medical or other professional advice or services. If you're looking for help in your journey, seek out a qualified medical practitioner. If you're looking for a functional medicine practitioner, you can visit ifm.org and search their Find a Practitioner database. It's important that you have someone in your corner who's trained, who's a licensed healthcare practitioner, and can help you make changes, especially when it comes to your health.